ever noticed when there's a thunderstorm coming, how thunder rolls and then it, bam, it crashes? And you remember, I don't know if you did, but when we were kids, we used to say God was bowling. You know, and he'd run and it crash and he'd hit. And then sometimes there'd be a roll of thunder and it'd be a really big crash of thunder. And we said, oh, he missed the spare. So, but in Scripture, God thunders. And whenever God thunders, things happen. His voice is powerful. And actually, we're going to start with the Scripture, Job 37, 5. And there it is. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. Things that we can't even imagine. Things that we've never will understand. But God's thunder is a sign of his power. It's a way of demonstrating his power. And just like sometimes when you feel there's a real close crash of thunder, you feel the whole house shake. Or you hear the windows shake. It's a sign of his power. And God doesn't just thunder in battles like in the Old Testament, or thunder when he, remember when Jesus was doing the triumphal entry and God thundered, and you know, some of the people say, well, that's just thunder. And other people recognize God's voice. God thunders in our lives. And just like when he thunders in the world, it changes things. And things happen. When he thunders in our lives, things happen too. And I'd like to speak about that a little bit this morning. We hear God thunder, and we are comforted. Encouraged, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. We are encouraged. And the scripture I thought of was, I don't know what I call it, the encouragement song, Psalm 23, where you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But I'd like to focus on one verse in that, in verse 4. Even, I'm going to have to read up here because I can't read my notes. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death is another way that it's translated. Means pretty much the same thing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You know, and I don't know how many times I've read that. And all of a sudden it struck me, it wasn't that the evil was going away, or that all of a sudden the darkness was going to be bright. But what made it work is God's with me. Even in the darkest places. He's with me. You know, and it's so much easier to go through. You know, we think of the shadow of death, and we think of this as sort of like a death or life-threatening situations. But sometimes the darkest valleys and the darkest places are inside of us. Not outside of us. God's there with us too. And when you have somebody with you, it's easier to go through those things. This fall, the boys asked me to go to the Dent schoolhouse. Take them to the Dent. I said, nope, nope, and nope. Grandpa's not going. Mainly because I'm a coward. But they talked their older brother into taking them. So I'm sitting there at home just waiting for it to, you know, nightmares and all this stuff. And they came home and they blew it off. Yeah, it's noisy. That was all. Not scary. But I think the reason it wasn't scary is because their older brother went with them. He walked them through it. There was somebody there with them. And the same thing's true of the things that we go through life, be it illness or be it just getting up in the morning for some people. That because Jesus is there, he gives us the courage to face another day, to face one more argument, to just keep on one more time, take one more step. All these things because he is with us. And he's not a God that will say, well, okay, here, you go through there, and I'll meet you on the other side. You know, here I am. No, he's with us the whole time, even when it doesn't seem like it. You know, I think we all have those times where we feel alone. We have to remind ourselves, he's here. He's right here. He's not somebody that we have to go, yo, God, over here, a little help? No, he's right here all the time. And, you know, even if it's not the darkest valley, or even if it's inside of us, sometimes those are the hardest and darkest and scariest places, when we're afraid, when we're, you know, we're hurting, we're just so many negative things. And that's when Satan will try to get at us too. He'll get us when we're weak and everything. Not that he tries to drag us with him right away, but he tries to separate us from God. Forget God. Focus on your pain. Focus on your fear. But when we remind ourselves that God's with me, all of a sudden it's not so bad. It's no fun, but at least we have him with us. But you know that that's not all. When God thunders, we're also made confident because he gives us the tools we need to fight against those fears. In Ephesians 6:13, it's the whole armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. You know, God doesn't just say, well, just go ahead and do it. You know, just do it like Nike does. He gives us the tools we need. And if you read the rest of that chapter, he gives us, you know, righteousness, faith, helmets, all kinds of things to defend ourselves, a shield of faith to defend us against, it says, the fiery darts of the devil. He also gives us a weapon to fight back. And that's scripture. And so, we can have that confidence that, while I don't have to do it on my own, God's with me. He's gave me the weapons I need. I can deal with this. You know, of course, then Satan will come back in with the fear thing. And yeah, there are times when we will be afraid and we will have fear. But we don't have to give in to it. We can fight it. And that's part of the tools that God gives us. I can do this. I can do this. I can take care of it. Or we can take care of it. Not I. We can take care of it. See, I'm already missing the whole idea of it. We can take care of it. I'm not in this my own. Like I said, going through the haunted house. It's because somebody else was with him. It's not scary then. Or not as scary. So, God gives us the courage to do things or to make it. Like I said, for some people, the biggest amount of courage is just getting out of bed in the morning. It's a tremendous act of courage. For other people, it's just making it through a day. And for some, it's just, you know, they're just rah. And they can go and march, you know, marching on to Zion. Where, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm crawling on my hands and knees trying to get there. So God gives us the courage to keep on. He gives us the tools to keep on. And it's not just the armor. He also gives us all the gifts, the spiritual gifts. And all those things we can use to get better and to do better. And the last thing he gives us when he thunders, one of the third thing, is he strengthens us. He gives us strength. And Colossians 1:11, which maybe it's not on there. Ah, there. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. There again, it depends on the Lord, not on us. It depends on us to give us strength. Sort of like the song, I don't know if you've ever heard the song Redemption Song by Bob Marley. And there's a line in it that says, "My hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty." When God puts his hand on us, we are strong, stronger than we even dreamed of. And like I said, sometimes that strength is not that we're going to slay the devil or slay the dragon, and he may still be a roaring lion, but it's like, remember in The Wizard of Oz when they're going through the woods? Lions and tigers and bears. Hey, pretty good. And how the lion is roaring and they're all panicking and stuff. And finally, Dorothy's had enough and just smacks the lion in the nose. That's part of the weapons the Lord gives us. We slap Satan in the nose. Tell him to shut up and go to where he belongs. Fight back. Don't listen to his garbage. We have the courage to do that. We have the tools to do that. And we have the strength to do that. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who my daddy is? So, you know, God, when he thunders, he gives us all these things and makes it possible for us to succeed and to be victorious. That's the word I'm looking for, not succeed, victorious. But you know, that enables us to do things. But God also whispers. He speaks softly. And just like God's thunder is a sign of his power, God's whispers are a sign of his loving kindness. And scripture we got is 1 Kings 19:11-3. But I'll start this out a little bit. You know, Elijah, he was pretty tough. He was powerful. He listened to what God said. He listened to the thunder. And they had, he decided he had had enough, and he decided he was going to have a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And I think 400 other ones. And so he said, okay, we'll both build altars. You go ahead and set yours all up, but don't light the fire. And you call on your God and let him light the fire. So they go at it all day long. And of course, nothing happens. And, you know, Elijah's not above giving them a hard time about it. And, you know, razzing them. So finally he says, okay, my turn. And he sets up the altar like everybody else, digs a trench around it, pours, I forget, three times they pour water on it. So it's soaked. Everything's soaked. And then Elijah calls out to the Lord and says, Lord, prove yourself. And he comes down and fire comes down from heaven. It takes care of the ox, takes care of the wood, takes care of the stones, and takes care of the water. And then Job took care of the other prophets. They took them out, killed all 800 of them, 850. Well, this made the queen Jezebel not very happy. She sent him a message, said, before the day's done, I'm going to have you. And Elijah thought, well, it's probably a good idea to leave town right now. Because he thought, nobody's helping me, everybody's against me, nothing's working. He's feeling really down. And so he goes out into the desert, finds a tree, goes under it, and prays to die. That's how bad it is. He prays to die and falls asleep, hoping he doesn't wake up. But an angel wakes him up. He's got some food and water there for him, something to eat and drink. Says, here, eat and drink. You need it. And, you know, most people would be pretty wired up if an angel shows up and gives them food and drink. Not Elijah. He goes back to sleep. Angel wakes him up again, says, wake up. Wake up. You got to eat. You got a long journey ahead of you. So he does, and then he goes 40 days out to Mount Horeb, which oddly enough in scriptures over and over again called the mountain of God. He goes there, and he goes into the cave and spend the night. And this is where, and the Lord comes and says, first he goes, Elijah, what are you doing here? As if he didn't know. And Elijah tells him the whole story, how bad he feels. He says, in effect, everybody hates me. There's nobody left. I'm the only one that cares. They've killed all the prophets. And God realizes, this is a guy who's really down and needs something. So he tells him, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. He's giving him a special treat. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He knew what Elijah needed. Elijah needed more than encouragement. He needed to be calmed and comforted and healed, which what God's whispers can do to us if we learn to listen to the whispers. When God whispers, we are calmed. In Psalm 37, verses 7 and 9, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. I don't know about you, but me, when I see evil, or what I perceive as evil, I tend to think more of the thunder and just go whooping on somebody. But God says, just chill out. Be still. Calm down. Don't fret. Don't worry if they say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. You still know what day it is. Don't get so upset about things. Just calm. Because the reason it says it will lead to sin is because when we get angry, we don't think very well, usually. At least I don't. And you open yourselves up for all kinds of things. And the other thing about being calm is you don't let it fret at you. Don't let it gnaw at you. And it's not always some big deal. We all have those days where we just are in a mood, if you know what I mean, where you think that if you could just pinch somebody, you'd feel better. Don't want to really clobber anybody. You just want to pinch somebody. Trouble is they pinch back. But all these things, even that kind of thing, when we learn to be calm, when we let God whisper to us, when we remember his whispers, and we are calm, we can be more effective for him. We can live better lives. And, I think it's so true that anger hurts the person who's angry more than it ever hurts the object of it, usually. It will do you in eventually. So God whispers, and we are comforted. And we don't have to, don't worry about it. It'll be all right. Now, also God whispers, and we are comforted. we're calmed, and we're comforted. And this scripture from Isaiah chapter 66. There. As a mother comforts its child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice. You will flourish like grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. You know, God says, calm down. Calm down. And he takes us in his arms like a mother and calms a child. A mother that calms a child that's afraid or that's having nightmares. Come here and I'll hold you. He does the same thing. He holds us. It may not be a physical thing, but you know it. And all of a sudden, you're calmed, and you feel better about it. You know, and you don't have to be afraid and crying and hurting as much. This pain still might be there, but to know that he's there and he's taking care of you. So he will comfort us. And, you know, and the comfort's just not for in the hereafter. Or in you know, when we get to heaven. He'll comfort us now if we'll let him. Doesn't mean he'll make everything go away. All the problems or all the pains. Because he knows that sometimes it wouldn't be a good thing if every pain and every suffering went away. Because he wouldn't learn. But he will be there to like we said, when he encourages us with his thunder, he will see us through it. He won't be, well, grow up and go on. Now, like a mother, he'll take hold of you and just comfort you and sort of pat you on the back. That image, I just imagine him opening his arms and just holding. Now, he calms us, he comforts us, and then he heals us. He hears our call and he heals. He heals whatever needs to be healed. And that's Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. There again, they had to make the choice. They called out. And they called out, oh, God, help me. Sometimes you don't get that far. Sometimes in a situation, all you can say is help. But he knows. You don't have to say it exactly the right way. You don't have to use certain words. All you got to do is say help. And he's there. And you don't have to wait for him to show up. He doesn't have to come from way over there to over here. Because he's already here. He's already inside you, and he can heal you and comfort you and comfort you and calm you and make everything, maybe not trouble go away, but he'll keep us not so roughed out. It makes it easier. So, you know, all these things that God does, the thunder and the encouragement and the made confident and the strengthened and the calmed and healed and comforted and healed, thunders and whispers. How do we learn to listen for them? You know, Satan will try to make as much noise as he can to distract us and to lead us astray. So what do we do about that? How do we learn to do better at that? Well, this is where railway safety comes in. For those of you who are wondering what that was about. Remember when you were learning about, usually about driving and stuff. There were three things they told you to do every time you went to a railroad crossing. Stop, I heard one. Stop, look, and listen. And the same thing's true for us. When we're trying to learn, that's a good way to learn what to hear and recognize when God is whispering or when he's thundering. You know, the first thing is stop. Like he says, just be still. Physically, spiritually, mentally, everything. Just chill out. Well, that isn't exactly a scriptural term, but chill out. Let's just stop. Don't go running around trying to fix it yourself. Don't go checking every self-help book in the check section at the Christian bookstore. Don't go running all over the place. Just stop. Think about it. When you're doing something and you just stop, and try it sometime, whatever you're doing, just stop and listen to what's around you. Hear things you never heard otherwise. The same thing's true with God's thunders and whispers. If you stop and don't let Satan distract you with all this other stuff, then you'll be able, that would be the beginning of being able to hear. Now, the second thing is to look. The first place you look is in Scripture. But not when you're trying to find some answers. Not when you're trying to find out how to hear the whispers and thunders. It's before that. Just to have it in you and to learn and to listen. You know, it's sort of like, I don't know how many times have you said, a scripture pops in your head, and you know, I know that's in there somewhere, but I'm not exactly sure where. But at least it's in there. It's in your head, in your heart. You don't have to be able to quote everything about it, but you have to know it's there. And unless you stop and look in Scripture, and not just one time, or you know how, I don't know if all Bibles did, but I know the Gideons used to in their Bibles, in the back of the head, when you're looking for different topic things, you know, look at it and stuff. Not just when you're ready to look at that section. Beforehand. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Now, oh, and also, don't just look at your heart. Look at yourself. Take an honest look at yourself. And don't start by making excuses, because I'm good at that. Look at that. But don't get down on yourself, too. It could be either way. There are good things. Remember, you know, Scripture says, and I believe it's Zechariah says, you know, God rejoices over you with singing. He thinks you're a hot property. That's why he does all these things. So you look at your heart and say, yeah, do I really care? Am I really doing what I can do? Do I really want to hear? And then the last, third thing is listen. Which sounds, you know, pretty obvious. Listen for the thunders and whispers. Listen, you know, that's why you need to be still. Listen for them. Because a lot of times we hear all this other noise in our lives. And we miss the thunders or the whispers. But they're there for us. And the more we make an effort to, we have to make the effort and the decision to listen for them. And the more we do that, the better we'll be able to recognize them when they come. And we'll be able to make use of the things that he makes available to us. You know, Satan is, like I said, always real big on trying to distract us. He'll come with things that sound like thunder. And he'll say, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, and try to overwhelm us by how big and bad he is. Well, he ain't squat compared to God. He's just a creation like you and me. But sometimes he does that whispering, too. You know, when you think, well, I'm on top of this. And you'll start that whispering campaign like you did with Eve. You say, did he really say not to eat off that tree? Is that what he meant? Did you really read that scripture right? Did you really listen in Sunday school? Or did you fall asleep again? You know, all those things, he'll whisper at you. And some of them are true. That's the dangerous part. But he'll take the truth and try to use it to separate you from God, or distract you from God, or distract you from the calmness and the comfort and the healing and the encouragement and all those things that are available to us if we listen. And like I said earlier, that what we need to do, just tell Satan to shut up and listen for the thunders and whispers, and we'll be blessed. Pray with me. Father, there is so much for us to hear if we only listen. Open up our ears. Help us to listen. Yeah. Lord, help us to listen, not just hear you, but to listen to what you say. Open our hearts so we can take it in, so we can have everything that you have available for us, that we can do, be the people you want us to be those who are blessed, be those who get the ultimate promotion and be with you. Father, we thank you for all these things, and we thank you for the great blessings, and we thank you for your thunders, and we thank you for your whispers, and help us to learn them and to hear them all the time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.